I'd like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting tonight. It's the gospel of the grace and the kindness of our God. It's a wonderful thing. It's the only news that this world has that's worth telling. The grace and the kindness and the mercy of a holy God. I'd like to sing number 14 on the hymn sheet here. This little song asks some questions. These questions need to be answered in the presence of God. And you may think it light to come and to sing little songs like this, but God is going to require an answer of each one of us, young and old. Have you been to Jesus? Every one of us is going to bow the knee. What a blessed privilege it is for us in this world to bow the knee and to bow the heart in the presence of a holy God. Number 14. Ask the Lord's blessing in our meeting. Our loving God, our Father, those of us that know the Savior, Lord Jesus, can just address our God as Father. And we would pray tonight for anyone here in this room that knows not the Lord Jesus as Savior, that has never had their sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. We pray, our God, that Thou wouldst work by Thy Spirit and that Thy Word might have free course and be glorified, that there might be something for saint and sinner alike tonight, that there might be that fruit for glory. If there's anyone here not saved, lost, without God, without hope in this world, we pray that Thou wouldst work by Thy Spirit and bring them to the conviction of their sin before Thee, and then to see the love of Savior, the love and the kindness and the grace of a holy God. We just ask Thee for Thy blessing and commend the hour to Thee in the precious and the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'd like to turn tonight to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and begin there. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we'll read from verse 25 down to verse 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Well, dear friends, tonight God has a message for each one of us. And here the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, told a story. And he said, Then a man stood up before him. The Spirit of God records this, that it was a certain lawyer. His name is known, it's not mentioned here. And in the scriptures, oftentimes the name of an individual is mentioned if it's one of faith, because it's important to the Lord. And the name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now there are those, we heard this afternoon, that are hidden servants, and the name isn't mentioned. But here this man was an ungodly man, and he stood up in the front of his Creator, provocative, seeking to pick an argument, and says, tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I want to ask you, dear friends, tonight, is there anyone here that's come into this room with a provocative attitude to come into the presence of God, the Creator God, and to question His authority, and to question the destiny of your eternal soul, and ask foolish questions in the presence of a holy God? Oh, is there anyone here that would do that? Oh, the Lord Jesus was patient. Here we have the patience of the Christ exhibited. You and I might have not answered the same way, but the grace and the kindness of a loving Savior, He gives this man an answer. And God wants to answer your soul's need tonight. You need a Savior. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to have that life restored. This little story that the Lord Jesus told, He says that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And you know, Jerusalem was that place where God had chosen to place His name among His people. And in that place of privilege and blessing, where He desired to bless His people. And we live in a scene that we've been reading of this afternoon that wants the blessing of the creation and the Creator, but without the Creator, without the Son of God. And dear friend, tonight there's only one source of blessing for your soul and for mine in this scene. Whether saved or lost, there's only one source of blessing. It's the heart of God Himself. And because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, why, there's mercy, there's blessing that flows from that cross and from the blood that was shed from the Son of God. Oh, we thank God that He could say there on the cross, it is finished. Oh, He could die there in the darkness. I shouldn't say He died in the darkness, but He suffered in the darkness when the sun hit her light. And every stroke of judgment was laid upon that Savior for my sins in those dark hours. Oh, if you'll have the Lord Jesus as Savior and acknowledge your need, He'd delight to bless and to save your soul this evening. While we think of here the Lord Jesus, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this particular portion. I'd like to look at some other portions in which the inn is mentioned. But it says here that the Lord Jesus, he told this story. The man went from Jerusalem, a place of blessing, a place where the Lord was, and he went to Jericho. And the name Jericho means a constant pleasant odor. And you know, this world, dear friends, has a constant pleasant odor to the flesh. But the sin stinks in God's sight. Oh, it stinks. He smells it. Oh, he can speak in Isaiah chapter 1 and say, the head is full of bruises and wounds and putrefying sores. Sin stinks in the presence of God, and your sin stinks before God. And so what is pleasant to the flesh, what is pleasant to this world, is not pleasant to a holy God. And so your sin, dear friends, if there's anyone here in this room that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, and you sit in your seats with the sins of a life lived without God, it stinks in the presence of God. And what appeals to man is hateful to God. Well, it says that this man, he fell among thieves. You know, there's two words. They're mentioned in John's Gospel, chapter 10. It says thieves and robbers there. And this word, actually, I believe Mr. Darby translates it, robbers. And a thief comes at night and he takes something that nobody's looking at, something that's valuable, but he comes in the night and he stealthily takes it. He removes it. He takes something that doesn't belong to him and he removes it from the rightful owner. But the robber plunders in broad daylight. He plunders what isn't his. He breaks through and destroys and takes what he wants. And dear friend, tonight God gives us this little picture. Your life is precious. Your soul is precious. There's only one person that's created like you. God desired to enjoy your company. And what Satan has done is plunder God's creation and destroy and steal what wasn't his. And, you know, God says of the Lord Jesus that he restored that which he took not away. And so he would delight this evening to save your precious soul and to bring you into the knowledge of sins forgiven tonight. And so this man, this picture is given to us, the Lord Jesus, he says it was, this man was stripped of his raiment. And so we're all naked in our sins before a holy God. Make no mistake of it. There's not one person in this room that God can't look into the heart and know what's there. It's all naked and opened unto him with whom we have to do. And so this man had no robe, and you have no covering, dear friend, if you're lost in your sins. No covering before God. And so what is it that would cover us? Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, God would desire that you would have a robe of righteousness before him instead of that raiment stained with sin. Well, we find here that he was wounded. Dear friends, this tragedy has come into this world. Tragedy and sorrow and sin. Men and women broken with the effects of sin. Wounded. And what God desires to do, what the Lord Jesus would delight for you this evening, is to heal that wound. To heal what sin has brought into God's creation. And in the grace and the kindness of God, to come in through his Son, that there might be that healing. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 53, you find there, I'm not going to be able to quote it, so I'm going to read it. It says in verse 5 of Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Dear friend, tonight we all entered this world wanting our own way and doing our own will. And it has resulted in a wound that sin has brought. But God, in His love, would delight that we wouldn't go through this world wounded and half dead. But He desired, because of the work of the Lord Jesus and the faithfulness of that one who He sent from His bosom into this world, He would delight to heal and to restore that which He took not away. And so if you have a wounded heart tonight, you've been wounded by sin, disobedience, rebellion against God, a holy God, oh, there's forgiveness. There's a healing. But I can't heal you. It's the Lord Jesus Himself that can heal. Oh, what a wonderful physician we have. He's called the Great Physician. And it's the balm of Gilead that He would give, as it were, that your soul's wound might be healed, that you might be in the presence of God, clothed and in your right mind. Oh, have you ever called to the Lord Jesus and asked for mercy, for forgiveness of your sins, that you might be healed and that you might have a new life in Christ? Well, it says here in verse 31 that by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and we saw him pass by on the other side. Well, there were those that should have been able to intercede for man, but didn't and couldn't. And no religious person is going to get you into heaven. No set of good works will get you into heaven. It's going to be the work of Christ, the finished, holy, perfect work of that risen man in the glory that will get you to the glory. That blood that was shed. Well, this priest came down that way, and so did the Levite. You know, there were three people that were walking down to Jericho. The man that left Jerusalem and was walking down to Jericho, he was going downward. The priest was going downward as well, and the Levite was going downward. Three of them were traveling in the same direction. And if you read Mr. Darby's translation, it's the Samaritan. He journeyed up. He came up to that man. He came up to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And so, dear friends, this world is on a course. It's a downward course, and it's away from God. And it's a course of ease. We have a little dog, and this morning he wanted to go outside. And I got up with that dog, I got dressed, went out, and he wanted to walk. And there was a sidewalk, but it was on the other side of the street, and it was uphill. And it was a lot of work walking uphill with that dog, because he wanted to walk quickly, a little more quickly than I'd care to walk. But he walked uphill. It was difficult. But coming downhill was easy. And dear one, tonight, the enemy of your soul, Satan, would love to have you walk downhill, easy street, without much effort, in the course and the vein of this world, the stream of pleasure, the stream of self-indulgence, and just walk downhill, just keep going towards Jericho, that place of pleasant constant odor to the flesh. But that which is so hateful to a holy God. And dear friend, if you walk in that direction, in that course, God is faithful, and He says it leads into everlasting destruction. You know, there in the heavens, in the uncreated dwelling place of our God, the place called heaven, and in the Father's house, is a holy place. There is no sin. Sin has ruined God's creation. Sin has come in and caused a distance between you and your God. And God would desire that that distance be removed. And it was that reason that He sent the Lord Jesus into this world to die on Calvary's cross, and there to shed His blood as a perfect, holy sacrifice, a substitute for you. If you would receive Him as your Savior, would you cry to the Lord for mercy tonight? Cry to the Lord for mercy. Have you ever cried to the Lord for mercy? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, we find the Samaritan was a despised man and he journeyed. In the Gospel of Luke, we see an order of things that is unique. In this Gospel, the Lord Jesus is seen walking up to Jerusalem. Time and time again, you see in this Gospel, he was walking towards Jerusalem. And what was he going to do there, friend? He was going to lay down his life for you and for me. For you, if you'd receive him as Savior, and for me, he was going, and it wasn't going to stop until he went outside those city gates, and he was led those seven times from one place to another in shame and mockery by wicked men and crucified between two thieves outside the city walls of that city. And God is going to require it of your hand. If you know not the Lord Jesus as Savior and you leave this scene, having lived in His world and having ignored His grace and His mercy, His offer of mercy and free pardon and forgiveness, if you've ignored it and you land in that place of everlasting destruction called the lake of fire, oh, you're going to remember this meeting. You're going to remember that you continued on to a dark, downward path without God, without hope. Oh, what love, dear friends. The Lord Jesus told this story and it says he had compassion on him. Did you know that a holy God has compassion on you? That's why you're here tonight. If he didn't have compassion on you, you wouldn't be here. But he's had compassion on you. And he wants to display that love and that affection, that grace, that mercy towards you. Well, it says here that he went to him, up to him, and bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, speaks of the Spirit of God, the oil and the wine. Oh, the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior. Do you want to have a happy life? There's not a young person in this world, I don't believe, that doesn't grow to be a teenager, so-called, and want to have a happy life in this scene. And if you want to have a happy life, dear one, make sure that you walk uphill. And make sure that you walk with the Lord Jesus. He's had compassion upon you. And here he says, it's so lovely, he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn or to the inn and took care of him. Now, dear friends, some of us have other people that work for us. And there are works, jobs that we can allocate to other people, delegate, assign different tasks. But this was a mighty work, this work of salvation. It couldn't be delegated to anyone else. God Himself sent His Son into this world. And what was it that carried this man to the inn? It was the beast, the Lord Jesus' own beast. What carried this blessed man, Lord Jesus, through this scene while he was here? What was it? It was obedience. It was dependence upon his Father. It was submission to his Father's will. Oh, what a blessing to walk through this scene in submission to the will of God, in dependence upon the Lord. Are you walking in dependence upon the Lord? Are you walking in obedience to His Word? It says that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Have you obeyed? Well, that's what brings us to the inn. And you know, there is only one inn that's mentioned here. Mr. Darby translates it, the inn. And it's a lovely place. God desires to provide a place for His own that's a clean place. A place of fellowship with his fellow, with his creature man, a place dear friends, a temporary dwelling place in the presence of a holy God. The inn is a temporary dwelling place in the presence of a holy God in this scene. Where do you dwell? Where are you living? Are you living in the presence of a holy God? Or are you living in God's world, in a corner and a piece of it, without any knowledge of God, without any knowledge of His love, without any recognition of His authority over you in this scene? Oh, He desires that there would be that cleansing from your sins, cleansed, that wound of sin healed, the oil and the wine poured in. But dear friends, that's not all that God wants. He wants you to dwell in His presence. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. It wasn't good enough, as it were. The heart of God is too broad just to save men in their sins, men and women in their sins, and to save their souls and to give them a new life. No, He wanted them to come and to dwell in His presence. He wanted them to live in a temporary dwelling place in this scene, in the inn. And so God has provided the assembly of those gathered to the Lord's name that you might have a place. God has provided it out of His heart of love and grace. His desire is that you would dwell in His presence and enjoy His presence. Well, we find here that He departed. You know, the Lord Jesus left this scene. He's a holy man. He's seated upon the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's a risen, a glorified Savior. He departed. And dear friend, I want to tell you that you're going to depart this world. Every one of us has to leave. The place is stained with sin, disobedience, rebellion against the holy God. And it stinks with sin. God is going to destroy this world. It tells us in the book of Peter, the epistle of Peter, that it's going to melt this earth. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Oh, He's going to fold up as a vesture, as a garment, this world and the heavens. And He's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. You have to leave this world. It's stained with sin, and it's stained with the blood of a holy man, the holy man Christ Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you. Oh, would you receive Him as Savior? Oh, He has compassion for you this evening. Well, the Lord Jesus says here in His story, He departed, He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And so, dear ones, are you saved? You're in the assembly. There are those that would reflect the responsibility of the host, those that are part of the oversight of that which God has raised up in His presence, in the temporary dwelling place for His own, that there might be blessing and provision for your soul. He's risen up, raised up teachers. He's raised up those that are shepherds. He's made every provision for your soul in this scene. In His presence. Oh, He would desire you to be there. And then we find that He says, take care of Him. And so we have that responsibility. Those of us that are older and see the young ones requiring food for the soul, those 5 barley loaves and those 2 fish. It's a day of small things, it's been mentioned before, but there was a responsibility. And then it says, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And so God is not unrighteous to forget what is done for Himself. I want to be faithful to you, dear friends. The Lord Jesus is coming again. It is for those of us that know the Lord Jesus as Savior. We look for the Lord Jesus to come. But you know, there's the Word of God speaks of another coming, and it says that those of us that love His appearing, it says He shall come with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment. Man cannot live in God's world. and ignore his creator and escape the consequences. Oh, what love God has for your soul and for mine to tell us such a thing. Oh, how he loves us, how he would desire us to be saved from our sins, saved from wrath of a holy God, and brought into the relationship of a son and an heir. Oh, it says that we're sons, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if we know the Lord Jesus as Savior. What a blessing, what abundance. This man was robbed, plundered in broad daylight. But what a blessing the Lord has desired for you to have. You're going to be a son. God will treat you as a son. He will bring you into the blessing of a son and an heir. And he will bless you with that shared riches of his mercy eternally. Well, I'd like to turn to the Old Testament and just look at the first time that the inn is mentioned. It's in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 27, but we'll read from verse 25. Genesis chapter 42 and verse 25, and says, "Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack and to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us?" These next few portions that we'll look at reveal what is morally acceptable to our God in the inn. I want to tell you, dear friend, tonight, this little picture of Joseph is a very precious one that the Lord speaks of. This man had been sold by his brethren into bondage and slavery into Egypt. And they didn't know that Joseph knew. And you may think that God doesn't know what has gone on in the past in your life. But thank God that he does. Thank God that you can come to the Lord Jesus and own it all and confess it all. And whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy, free pardon. God wants to have mercy on you in love. It says here, he looked into his sack, opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, and espied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth. Their heart failed them. And they asked this question, What is this that God hath done unto us? Have you ever been in the presence of God and asked that question? What is this that God has done? Has God caused circumstances in your life to ask that question? What is this that God hath done? Oh, be sure your sin will find you out. These men, years before, had sold their brother. And now God was in the business of restoring their souls. And God has a way, dear friends, of making the knee bend. Oh, how blessed it is to bend the knee. But oh, how much more blessed it is to bend the heart, to kneel before God and have the heart bowed and have the knee bowed too. And so these men came. It's a little picture to us that the inn is a place of the discernment. It's a place God is able to reveal what is in the depths of man's heart. And so if you come into the presence of a holy God, as you come tonight, is there that question? Are you afraid? Oh, you ought to be afraid to meet a holy God if you're not saved. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, you ought to be afraid tonight. These men were afraid. Well, we'll turn to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And then verse 24 of chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. It came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband art thou because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness and to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Well, dear friends, this saying is used in the Word of God time and time again. And it came to pass. God looks at this world and the history of this world, and he has spoken prophetically and told us about the end times. He's told us the future ahead of the time. That's what prophecy is. It's history written ahead of the time. And this word, it says it came to pass. And so it's come to pass that you are sitting in your seat tonight and you're hearing the Word of God. You're hearing the gospel of the grace and the kindness and the mercy of a holy God. Oh, what a lovely story to be able to tell of the Lord Jesus who loved you and gave himself for you. Well, you know, we find this in this little picture. The Lord met him in the inn. And this woman, this wife of Moses, her name is Zipporah. It means a little sparrow. Just a little worthless thing. Just a little sparrow. But you know, dear friends, this man Moses was called to do a work for God, a mighty calling. He was going to be used of God to deliver the children of Israel, to lead them through the wilderness from Egypt and into the promised land. It was a mighty work, but God was not going to have that work mixed with the flesh. God was not going to allow the flesh to glory in any way. And so what appeared to be hidden, what nobody knew except Moses and Zipporah, that this young boy had not been circumcised, was a hidden thing. And the flesh would have something to glory in the work of God, something that would hinder, was going to be a mixed work, except that the flesh was dealt with. And so we find, dear friends, that there's no room for the flesh in the inn, in the temporary dwelling place of our God, a holy God, where we can remember the Lord in his death, where we can be together to read his precious word. There's no place for the flesh. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be cut off. You might say, well, I'm not so great a sinner. I'm better than my neighbor. Oh, God cannot look upon one sin. He will not gloss over one sin. He will not forget and cover up unrighteously one sin. They, every one, need to be dealt with. And at the cross, dear friend, what a lovely, lovely event took place in those dark hours. It was a dreadful event for the Lord Jesus as he bore in the darkness the judgment. He consumed the fire of God's judgment there upon the cross. All the other sacrifices, dear friend, in Israel's time, All the other sacrifices, the fire consumed the sacrifice, and the ashes was evidence that the sacrifice had been offered. But at the cross, the fire was consumed. Oh, the judgment was consumed, dear friend, that you might have your sins forgiven. Have you called upon the Lord for mercy? Have you cried to that God of love for mercy and compassion? God will not look over one sin. He will not permit the flesh to be mixed with faith. It won't be fruit that's acceptable to Him. And so when we come into the inn, there's no place for the flesh. Now we want to turn to 2 Samuel just to read a couple of portions. I think it's chapter 17. Yes, I want to read chapter 17 and verse 27. It says there in 2 Samuel 17 and verse 27, "It came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Reba, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." And then just turn over to chapter 19 and verse 31. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 31. "And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man." And then, I don't want to read the whole portion because we don't have time here, but it says in verse 37, "Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do him what shall seem good unto thee." In verse 40, "And the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel." Well, dear friends, we find that this man, Chimham, if we'll look at Jeremiah chapter 41, and there was a habitation of Chimham, and it was the inn. It was that temporary dwelling place that God was going to provide for His own. It was very near Bethlehem, that place of that house of bread, of blessing, that His people might be fed. But here we find, I read this portion in 2 Samuel, because there were three friends, you know, and they served the Lord together. They had an appreciation for David. Three friends. Machir, the son of Lodabar of Amiel, was one of them. Barzillai was another, and there was that other one. They're mentioned by name by the divine writer, and it's because in that place, dear friends, there's affection for David. There's affection for the Lord. And you here, if you're here in your sins, without God, without hope in this world, you have no affection for Christ. You have no affection for the Creator God who made you. And He would desire that there would be that affection restored, that there would be that coming to Him, that confession of sin. I say again, whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. Oh, we have a loving God who delights to show mercy. But don't say that I made a mistake. Don't say that I've just walked a course, I'd like to turn over a new leaf. No, confess and forsake, and you'll have mercy in the sight of a holy God. Well, these friends, they came, they had affection for David, and there was that which was fruit for God, and there was blessing. Well, we'll just turn to Jeremiah chapter 41. This is a remnant that came to Jeremiah. and we find that the inn is a place of inquiry. You want to inquire of God what the truth is? Come into the presence of God, make an inquiry, and to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom. And so this is what these men did. It says in verse 17, Jeremiah 41 and verse 17, they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go, to enter into Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. Then all the captains of the forces of Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshea, and all the people, from the least even unto the greatest, came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for this all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Well, dear friends, that was a good thing to come into the inn and to make inquiry as to the path that ought to be walked in. And God doesn't want you to be ignorant of his love and of his grace and of the path of obedience to his word. And he has ordained that the word of God might be here in our hands tonight, that we might know what the path of obedience and faithfulness is. And so God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Have you repented? That word repent means to repenser in French, is to rethink. Rethink your position before God, a holy God. And so these men, they came into Jeremiah's presence. They asked him to inquire of God for them. And notice that it says, the Lord thy God. Oh, is the Lord your God? We often ask people to pray for us, and that's a good thing. But dear friend, do you pray? Do you pray? Have you prayed to a holy God? Have you ever got down on your knees and prayed? Have you ever sat in your seat, and you could do it right now, and pray to a holy God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, have you prayed? These men came into the presence of Jeremiah, and he inquired of the Lord for them. But you know, it says in chapter 43, in verse 4, I'll just read it, it says, so Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. You know, in spite of that inquiry that was made in the presence of God, you may be here tonight saying, I'm going to come to this gospel meeting and I'm going to ask God for a sign. I'm going to ask God to speak to my soul, and then I'll get saved. But you know, dear friends, we find in this inn that there's no room for self-will. There's no place for the self-will of man. And God's will is perfect. It's flawless. As for God, his way is perfect. And his word, it says in Proverbs, it says every word of God is pure. And so he has given us his word. He's given us instruction. And he's told us of his love. And if you go out this evening without your sins forgiven and in self-will, having made inquiry, so to speak, and to have come under the sound of the truth of the grace and the kindness and mercy of a holy God, and to go out in self-will and disobedience, it's a course, it's a downward course, and it leads to the lake of fire. It leads to eternal separation from a holy God. Oh, he loves you too much. He sent his Son. He desired that that which would be restored again would be that fellowship with you. I say again, he only created one person like you. There's not two people like you, only one. And God saves souls one at a time. But we find in the Word of God that there's no place for self-will in His presence. No, in the glorious scene above, in that uncreated dwelling place of our God, and with the Lord Jesus, there are only those people that want the will of God. There are those that want the will of the Father, that love to follow the Lord Jesus, that want His will. In the eternal courts of glory, those that find themselves in heaven because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus enjoy the will of a holy God and enjoy the blessings of that will. And so I say in picture here in the assembly of those that are gathered to the Lord's name, there is no place for self-will. Oh, you know, it says in the book of Titus, one of the requirements for an overseer, it says, not self-willed. And why is that? It's because, dear ones, that faithful overseer would desire the will of God, not his own will, but the will of God. Oh, what a blessing it is to know what the will of God is and to walk according to that will. Let's just turn now to the New Testament, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, or chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, dear friends, this world was created by the Son of God, my Savior, the only perfect man that ever walked this scene, the only man that was born into this scene with a will and a desire to please his God, the only one that went through this scene and in every aspect of his life pleased the Father. I want to ask you a question. Have you pleased the Father today? Has He delighted in your life? Has He delighted in the thoughts of your heart? Have you enjoyed something of communion, common thoughts with God in connection with that blessed man, Christ Jesus, today? Oh, that's what He'd delight to have. But you know, He came into this world and there was no room for Him in the inn. There was a temporary dwelling place where He would delight to have His own. This is the picture that we have, and there was no room for Him in the inn. Have you any room for Jesus? Have you any room? Have you room for business? Have you room for pleasure? Have you room for Jesus? Have you room in your heart, in your life? Or is it so filled with all kinds of other activity that you have no room? Oh, I just plead with you to accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. Now I want to read just one other scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 14. This is the last inn, if you will. But we find here, I'll just read it. It says in John's Gospel, chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God. Believe in also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, dear friends, there's not going to be a temporary dwelling place eternally for God's people. There's going to be a permanent dwelling place in the presence of their God. There's going to be an abode, there's going to be a place, there's going to be a room for everyone there that has accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior, that has received that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Oh, if you don't know Him as Savior, and you're just not sure how to be saved, won't you just ask one of us here, that's older, ask your mother, your father, won't you just bow your head? Won't you just bow your heart and ask the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away? God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'd like to sing one more little song, number 17. Many just pray and ask the Lord's blessing.